We've got one more really big mystery to resolve, and that is, whose blood was that in the bathroom of Building 6?
The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Chris Martinson here. Listen, I'm trying to get away from the Trump story a little bit because how much more can we do out here just looking at tapes and things like that? Well, the answer is there's still plenty we can do. And we've got an incredible team of people working on all angles of this thing behind the scenes. And something has come up lately, and this was in a private conversation with Dave Stewart when I first talked with him a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, when he had the famous Zapruder film of our time. He mentioned something at the time, which was that he was sitting outside of a cruiser and heard that there was a second shooter, right? Because of blood in the bathroom. So let's talk about this now. This is a very, very mysterious case. We're going to break it down in our usual style. There's things we know, things we don't know, and this is kind of an odd case. So to start, this is an actual recording of Dave being interviewed by, I believe, a state police trooper. And let's just listen in. I've just got this one fragment here for us to go over.
And then there was a couple there. And then there was a guy with a Gadsden American flag who said that his motorcycle was left in the area there. And he was pissed about that.
Okay.
I forget his name.
So you began this conversation saying something about
Yeah, because when we were first ducking behind when they moved us all from the back of the AGR building and Homeland Security and the other guy with the long gun moved us over to the township police car to take cover there. The door was open and we could hear the radio communications, and they said shooter dead on the roof. And then they said, we breached the building. There's blood in the bathroom. Second shooter on the loose. So, because, if the guy climbed the building and shot from there, how was there blood found inside of a bathroom inside that building?
Good question.
So, there had to have been a second shooter, right, that got shot or something?
The cop.
You got moved to another building by who?
Moved to another area by Homeland Security. I got the cuffs taken from behind me to the front by Homeland Security.
Okay.
And then when we got moved over to township police were like, Dave? And I'm like, yeah, please take these cuffs off me. And they took the cuffs off me. And then they moved us across the street. And then they were like, this is even a horrible spot over here. If the dude wants to shoot out the windows, get in the trunk of our car over here and we'll drive you to the farm show.
Okay.
Okay.
So what was it that you overheard on the radio?
That there was a shooter dead on the roof, and then they were clearing the building, and they found blood in the bathroom, and they said second suspect at large or something like that or whatever. I don't know. But blood was found in the bathroom. Remember that for sure. Because that's what had us freaked out, because that's what the cops were telling us. Like, hey, the second shooter's still around here, so, let's move from this point over to this point where it's safer. And then they're like, well, it's not safe over here. Let's take you over here.
So you didn't actually see any potential second shooter?
No, I assume the red truck guy was, because what I...
All right, so the red truck guy is the janitor. We don't know who, but some guy was angrily clearing people off of that back fence line there just to the south of the AGR Building 6. So Dave Stewart, he's there. And very good eyewitness here, sitting down by the car, and he told me that other people also heard the same thing over the transmission, that there was blood in the bathroom, and that this caused quite a stir. And when I was talking with Dave originally, he said that they were kicking down doors and rampaging all through the building. It took them quite a while to clear out and discover that there wasn't a potential second shooter in there. So this is a real mystery, right? Because it hasn't really shown up in any of the other timelines, and it seems like a potentially relevant detail. Well, today we're going to find out just how relevant this detail is based on what I'm going to show you. All right. So first up, This, I just got a few clips here. So this is all coming to us from the M500-010482. You can see that designation. Let me get my little laser pointer up over here. So there are all these different body cams and we'll call them car cams, right? So M500-010482 is a car cam. It's a dash mounted camera in one of the cruisers. In fact, this happens to be the cruiser of the cop who pulled up. We went over this on Friday. He pulled up to the water tower and came on scene. And within less than 2 minutes, the officer who got out of this car managed to locate Crooks on the roof, even though there were a lot of other officers in the area who couldn't manage that same detail. We're going to have to get to a pair of those in more detail tomorrow. At any rate, at 6:11:33, shots begin. So they all kind of, you know what's interesting? Now, this car cam has, whatever its microphone is, it's inside the car, it's sealed in there. So that's really going to change the characteristic of sounds. However, I will say, with that said, all 8 shots sound identical from this vantage point right here in a muffled mic environment. But this is the only recording I've got from the east side of the building. We haven't done a full audio analysis on this yet. I can't hear echoes and all that. Maybe with some really detailed, and we'll look into it. But let's just listen in. Here we are. And that's it. So those are the first 9 shots. And if I'd gone another couple seconds, we would have heard the 10th shot coming in. And that sounds bizarre on this tape. I think there's something there worth analyzing, but that's not what we're here to do today. So just wanted to let you know. And by the way, I apologize, even though it's not my fault, for the quality of this camera here, because it's got the sun pointing right at it. A little later, it clears up if, you know, an hour or two later in this video. But right now, the sun's pouring in, so we kind of have to squint through it just a little bit. But that's the nature of the business we're in. Now, what's interesting is we have to wait until 6:13:23, and Greg Nickel appears, and he's going to open that door. That's door 9 on Building 6 on the east side of the building, which is facing the parking lot. We've got the motorcycle right here. There would be 2 cruisers at this point over here, and the shots went off at, you see it says 18:13:16 at the top. They went off at 18:11:33. So at 16:13:23, we're going to see Greg Nickel finally poke his head out of the building here. There he is. Hi, Greg. Now, note, he looks around. He's not particularly agitated. He's not running. I know he's heard the shots because he was right in the building when they happened. A little odd, that behavior, don't you think? It seems very casual, kind of lackadaisical. I'm not sure how to interpret that, but first thing we can interpret for sure is that it took Greg 1:50 to come out. So he comes out of Building 6, door 9, and there we are. Now, one thing we can ascertain, and this is from the body-worn camera, if I'm interpreting that correct, the BWC. This is from Officer 122125, and we'll come back to them in just a second, but let's just watch here.
Is that door lock?
No, that's off. Mic check.
Did you hear that? Is it locked? So I listened to him rattle the door.
I think static. That's off. No.
Christian, go ahead.
And then watch this. This guy right here with the beard. We're going to track him down tomorrow. All right. So what we've established here is that this officer comes walking over, and I'll place this video back in the cop car cam timeline, the M500 timeline. Anyway, this person established for us, he rattles the door. So the door is locked, and we saw it close all on its own after Greg Nickel came out. So I'm going to guess that this door is both self-closing and locking. And I don't see a key card or anything on this one. And I haven't seen anybody use a key card because a key card figured in prior. Nobody has a key card. People seem to have to sort of rattle it and have somebody on the inside open it for them. Okay, now, before I move on to the next part, part 2 for subscribers today, I have to talk about how the UK has gone insane And listen, what's happening right now is our ability to talk with each other and understand each other is being destroyed. Our sense of trust in the system, our connection with each other. This is by design, unfortunately. It's like we're in this fifth generation warfare piece. Now, if you met me in person, you would find out I'm exactly the same person you're seeing right now. It's not artifice. It's not a strategy. I just don't know how to be any other way than just truthful and genuine. And that's who I am. So there's no, I don't have a stage act and then a home act. It's just all one thing. And in order to combat this, though, we have to combat this particular, the really awful, pernicious effects of us being driven apart from each other like rats in a cage. We're being trained to fight each other, and it's no good. And by the way, the way we combat that is, well, we get together. And so we're holding our Peak Prosperity Summit this year, our most important one. I can't guarantee there'll be any future ones the way the world is going. September 13th to 15th, but I would be remiss if I didn't point out that the tickets are only on sale until August 25th because we have to give notification of total count and food needs and everything to the facility that we're using, which is in beautiful, beautiful Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire in September, which is kind of leaf season starting out there. It's just going to be gorgeous. So please come by if you want to meet other people like you who resonate with the truth and talking about things and where the world's really going. And by the way, you'll be surprised. They are, the people who show up at my events are very successful and very smart. You'll fit right in. So please come to that if you want to, but check that out at peakprosperity.com if you want to get tickets. I would be remiss if I didn't point out that we have to close ticket sales on August 25th. Now, back to the story. So now we're going to go back. So Greg has left. People are walking around. You can see from the timeline up here with my laser pointer again that this is now 18, 14, and 56. Remember, it was 18, 11, and 33 when the first shot went off. And then it was a couple minutes after that, 1 minute 50 seconds, that Greg comes out. And now all of a sudden, we're going to see people go back into Building 6 here. It's a little bit of a mystery to me. See if you can resolve it for yourself, how that door actually gets opened. Because somebody yanks on it, as we'll see, and it opens. And I'm wondering if somebody wasn't also pushing on the bar at the same time. But that's Greg Nickel. Oops, sorry. That's Greg Nickel right here. And this is another gentleman who's, we'll call him plain clothes. He was identified in an earlier thing where he comes over. This guy came through the fence line. We've identified that from the Dave Stewart materials. He's got sort of a star in a shirt, and he's also got a badge on his belt right here. He's going to feature prominently in just a minute as well. So let's just watch this, and I'll narrate a little bit. In fact, you know what? We don't need the audio on this because it's just background noise. Nothing is happening. So I'll turn the video audio down, narrate it for you. Here we go. So Greg comes walking over. Now we see another state policeman entering the scene over here. And this is the plainclothes guy who runs down. Greg actually tried the door right then. Nothing happened. So he's staring around. Now we have another state cop here. Now we've got, looks like a, well, I don't know who that is, uniformed officer of some kind. Now we've got a statey with a hat, another statey without a hat. Oh, there he is. That's, that's the guy with the star in his chest. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people go in. The door closes. Apparently it locks again, and that's the end of that. So 5 people went in. Let's watch that one more time together just so we really understand what we're seeing here. Okay, Greg tries the door, nothing happens. That guy wanders off a little bit. Greg is looking around, he doesn't know what's going on. We got a statey coming in, a uniform guy coming in from the side there. And that guy holsters. Now he grabs it, yanks the door open. I can't tell if somebody was in there, and we watch 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people pile in. And that's that. Okay, so what can we make of that? Well, first thing is, we've got this gentleman here who goes off to the side. We'll be able to place him a little bit later. I'm not sure if I've misidentified looking at this again. I don't know who that other uniformed guy is who went in there who yanked the door open now. So I may have to recorrect that because I think I mistook him for this other guy. So we have these 5 going in. First in through the door, numbered by appearance of order of entry into the building. Number 1 is Greg Nickel. He runs in. Now, if you watch him run in, and I can back up and we can watch it carefully, he doesn't redraw his pistol. He doesn't clear the door, right? He doesn't, like, sweep it. He just runs right on in there. He has no concerns, personally, that there's any threat inside the building. I think that's important behavior to note here. And then number two is a state police officer with a hat in hand. Number three is another state police officer without a hat in hand. And then there's this gentleman with the white shirt and pants and some other plainclothes guy. Who also ran through the fence line, or I should say this guy ran through the fence line. Then we have a stadie over here who doesn't enter, just keeps a lookout. Plus, we got to suspect, is there somebody inside, or did the guy just yank on the door hard enough to defeat the locking system? I don't know. So let's go back to that really quick and take a look at this together, because this is really important what happens next. So everybody's out of the building. We got this guy. He's ducking under the... See, Greg tries the door. That other guy was ducking under the window. He wanders off to the side. Okay. Now we have a state police and then this other gentleman with the black hat and some sort of patch and a black dark uniform on coming in. Greg wanders off. This guy's looking at the door. He holsters his weapon. He looks in the door and now what? Yank, it's open. I don't know if I see somebody back there. Greg runs back. He's like, oh, I got to be in here first. Just runs in the door. Other people come in, but there's no weapons drawn. I don't know what's going on, but everybody just sort of heads in there. Rewatching this now, I think I've misidentified this gentleman here, so I don't know about him anymore. I'll have to watch more carefully. Now, first up, Greg Nickel through the door. One thing we're going to notice here, and this is from the Dave Stewart films, is we see that he is not bleeding. Okay? You can see there's no blood on his hands here. There's no blood on his hand here. There's no blood on his hand. And here he is holding this hand up and he's reholstered his weapon. You can see he had his weapon here, but it got reholstered and now there's nothing dripping off here. So I'm pretty sure Greg has not come out of the door dripping blood. There's no blood on him. As well, we have number two and number three, again, coming over from the Dave Stewart. I can't identify who's who necessarily, but we have these two gentlemen running over. It could be also because there's a gap in Dave's film as he's panning back and forth. There could be another state cop who's run over here. So I can't be totally sure which state cops we're talking about. But this is one of them here. We see he's got a hat in his left hand and his right hand is clear and clean. Left hand, right hand. But nobody's holding their hand running around if it's a hand injury. I don't see anybody else bleeding from any other place. Same thing over here with officer number three here, gentleman number three, running with a hat in the left hand and a clear right hand. And then this is undercover dude over here, camo shorts guy. Okay. And then there's number four comes through, this gentleman wearing the white shirt and long pants and some sort of a harnessy thing going on. I don't know what that thing is, but he comes running through the fence as well. So all of these guys came from the other side. They came running from the Trump side of things, had to squeeze through the fence. You saw it had the secure tape and a chain, and they're all squeezing through. You know, we're going to put that to Benny Hill music someday because it is kind of humorous how that all happened. And then this guy, I thought this was number five, but I'm going to have to go back and check. It may not be him. No, I don't think it is anymore. So I'm going to have to check on who that other officer is. If it is who I'm thinking it is... Nah, I don't have him in this picture set. But I didn't notice anybody holding their hand. Nobody's coming in. And by the way, that officer who I think did go through the door first with the black uniform, holsters their weapon and then just yanks the door. I don't see them holding a hand or something that would indicate that there is a lot of blood. Okay. So at 6:15:36, five of these guys have entered and that's it. And I watched the tape frame by frame, you know, the whole way through. The door is closed. Presumably it's locked. Nothing happens. Nobody else enters until almost exactly 2 minutes later when this happens. So remember, as a reminder, this is what we heard about from Dave Stewart. And let me just pull this up.
Flag, who said that his motorcycle was left in the area there, and he was pissed about that.
Okay.
I forget his name.
So you... began this conversation saying something about a second shooter.
Yeah, because when we were first ducking behind the when they moved us all from the back of the AGR building and Homeland Security and the other guy with the long gun moved us over to the township police car to take cover there, the door was open and we could hear the radio communications, and they said shooter dead on the roof. And then they said, we breached the building. There's blood in the bathroom. Second shooter on the loose.
Re-breached the building. Blood in the bathroom. Second shooter on the loose. I'm pretty sure that what they're talking about is this. So it's 16:17 and 33. This is just 2 minutes after the door has closed. We know there's just five people in there, a possible sixth if that's who opened the door, unless this door can be defeated by just yanking on it extra hard. I'm going to guess there's at least one other person in there, but for sure, there's not a lot of people in there because other people have rattled the door and nobody seems to be letting anybody in. So we had those five in there, maybe one more. And they're in there for a couple of minutes, and then this happens next. This is astonishing. Watch this Stady come over. He's ducking. Everybody's nervous. Now we got a fully kitted up guy coming in with close quarter combat rifles. These guys, they open the door, breach the door. Everybody's in. Everybody. We got uniformed officers. We got plainclothes officers. We got a Secret Service guy for sure. We got quick reaction force dudes. We got SWAT guys. We got one of everybody just piles on into that thing, okay? And that happens to be red tie Secret Service guy who's manning the door right now at this particular moment. And everybody's in there, and he just stands around for a second, looks to see if anybody else wants to come in. We're waiting. And now everybody's in there because they're reported come over that there's blood in the bathroom, so second shooter. Now, this starts to raise a number of fairly interesting questions for us, right? Which include, comes one more guy, and yeah, it just takes another second and he closes the door, and then everybody's sort of locked in there. Okay, he doesn't see any need to be inside. He's questioning if anybody needs anything. You need me? No, he's going to go over here and talk to the guys trying to get on the roof still over there. Okay, so that's it. So, well, we know something for sure now, which is something caused a lot of alarm, and it caused 12 and then 13 guys to rush into this building because there's blood in the bathroom, is the report. So, whose blood is it exactly? And can we account for that? Because all we know for sure is Greg Nickel comes out almost 2 minutes after the first shots are fired. The door is closed. Nothing happens. Nobody's going in or out until it gets yanked open or somebody opens it from the inside. And just those five guys go in, including Greg. So Greg plus four, two of them happen to be what we'll call plainclothes, right? And two of them happen to be uniformed. So what is actually happening here? Because that seems like a pretty big event. And then finally, at 6:25:22, so this is like 8 minutes later, the door opens and three come out and one goes in, and we can watch this now together. So, door opens up here, and, oh no, wait, it's not, yeah, not till 6:26, mistitled at the top. Okay, we got one Stady coming out, and here are these two, call them plainclothes. I don't know if they're state police or Secret Service yet. I haven't identified their badges or anything like that. But that's camo pants guy, and that's capri pant guy, right? So they both ran in, but now they come out. They see no need to be in there anymore. 8 minutes, I guess they've cleared the building. Something's been resolved. But one thing I want you to notice for sure is only those three guys came out. That guy right there, waving his hand, the state police guy, and these two guys, who only ran in as part of the second contingent, those two guys of 13, and nobody else comes out. But what we're going to notice here and observe is nobody injured comes out. Nobody who's bleeding or needs to go to the, needs to go somewhere has come out. Out of this door, I don't know, maybe somebody got hurt and we don't know about that and they came out a door to the north somewhere else, or, you know, it's entirely possible that they would not have come back out of this particular doorway. Always possible. But I can tell you for sure, nobody injured came out of this doorway at that moment or any time prior. So if somebody was in there, if there was an officer in there who somehow got injured and was bleeding out in the sink and then decided, I got to go get this taken care of, you would think that they would have come back out again if they went in this door, but that didn't happen. Of course, again, they could have come out lots of buildings in this complex. They connect. That could have happened too. So again, that all ties us back to this clip right here again, where again, we don't need the Well, we can play it.
Is that door lock?
Yes. Hey, is that door locked? Comes in, rattles the door. Be quick, you can see there's some people in there, but the door won't open. So we've established that the door is at least locked for light testing. And these are the two guys who had just come out, right? And they don't look too alarmed, and there's no blood on them. So we don't know what's exactly happening yet. Now, this is interesting. We carry on just a little bit longer and on the dash cam, and we are now at 18:27 and 32 seconds, so we're a few minutes beyond still. And now we see a couple of these fully kitted up, backpack-wearing ESU Beaver County people. Cop knocks on the door. They open it. Now you can see somebody has to press on that to open that. We've established that door is locked. Those two people go in, and they start communicating. And we can see here pretty clearly that this door is now going to get propped open. And so now we've got a regular chain of command in here. And of all the people who ran in, nobody else has yet come back out again until we see these folks enter at this point in time. So this is important to me because this one of these two people is Ms. Nickel, who happens to be Greg Nickel's wife, who is the medic. And we saw her as part of the ABC film, you know, when ABC said, oh, you know, these brave soldiers ran up. That's from those helmet cam. I'll show you that in just a second. And here we can see a Secret Service guy coming out right there with the beard, and he's got a Secret Service vest on. And this all connects now with the earlier videos that we've seen. So now people are coming and going freely, but of note, let's go to this next part of note. Because here, this is from the Grassley release. This is a helmet cam. This is the one that they used in the ABC news piece. Here we go. When I press it. Open the door.
I think they're on the roof.
Is that where the dude is too?
Yeah, he's up there too. So the ladders are en route. The operator suffered lacerations in the hand from climbing up on it, so like you might need Meyer stitching.
Okay.
Can't confirm life status on the mail, but let's get her off.
Did you hear that? That was interesting. Might need minor stitching is what I heard on that.
Is that where the dude is too? Yeah, he's up there too.
So the ladders are en route.
The operator suffered lacerations in the hand from climbing up on it, so like you might need minor stitching.
Okay.
Can't confirm life status on the mail, but let's get our operators take care of first. But ladder is coming.
So this is fascinating because he says here that that an operator might need minor stitching, implying that an operator was trying to get on the roof and somehow cut their hand. Now, what's fascinating about this is that we don't have any operators going into this building, at least from this view. Now, if they hurt their hand, they would have been over to the side on this particular building over here where we've seen all those people. First, there was the pallets, and then there was one of those collapsible sort of tack ladders, and then later the big ladder came over. They're boosting each other up. We don't know. But what we don't see is we don't see somebody racing into this building as part of that first five. So the question becomes, if this was an operator who hurt their hand trying to get up, which door did they use? How did they get in here? Where did they go? Because they must have run all the way around the building or used some very, very different entrance. But this is the main entrance. This is the prime way in and out of the building, this door that we are now standing in coming through. So it becomes a little bit odd. This is a bit of a mystery. How did that blood get in the bathroom? So we know these things, right? We know that the door to AGR-6, that's door 9, itself closes, it locks. We know that it was just Greg Nickel and four others, two uniform, two plain clothes, no operators, right? No kitted up people, went back into AGR-6 at 6:15:36. Greg enters first, guns holstered, no clearing the entrance, right? He's not nervous at all, comfortable going back in. Somebody inside, presumably one of these five people who went in, or somebody else who's already inside still. That is that sniper two with Greg's team? We don't know who that is yet. We're still, don't know. Somebody notices blood in the bathroom, and they phone it in. Outside LEO are notified. Dave Stewart overhears the radio chatter, right, about blood in the bathroom and a second shooter. And then at 6:17 and 33, a dozen additional LEOs, at least maybe 13 if we count that last guy who goes in later, swarm into building 6 through door 9. And then at 6:25, 22, three come back out. So like 8 minutes has passed. They're out there. They're trying to clear stuff. Again, there could be other doorways people are coming and going from, but this is the prime one we have to analyze. And two plainclothes and one state cop come out. Nobody's injured. Nobody's bleeding. And at 6:27:45, the helmet cam crew arrives, and we see them come in. And then we hear about possibly an operator might need stitches in their hand, because the black-kitted guy is like, yeah, they're up there. Said, yeah, he mentioned something about stitches in an operator. So operator to me typically means one of those people who's fully kitted up, not an officer, not a uniformed, right, not a plain clothes. We would use different language for those. So that means one of the fully kitted up people somehow cut their hand. But the question then becomes, okay, but if they did, which door did they go back in? Because I don't think any of the other ones on this side are operative for them. I haven't seen anybody using the doorways in building 3 or building 1 or any of that. So somehow somebody hurts their hand who's an operator. Well, they would have been on this side of the roof where we are. Our car cam is fully operative. As well, we have tons of body cam from a bunch of people, and we don't hear anybody saying, ah, my hand, right? Because, you know, walking away with blood dripping down and all of that. So we don't have, this is a mystery. Again, this mystery may have a completely innocent explanation, but for now it stands as a pretty interesting, compelling mystery that we would want to resolve, right? We'd want to be sure that that blood tests out and we know who it belongs to and, you know, do the full forensics on it, all of that, right? And by the way, in the police radio car cam we're in, there's no chatter about any of this, right? There's not no chatter. So the question is, well, whose blood was it really? And when exactly did they hurt themselves and how did they get into the building? Until we solve those things, I have to say, well, this is a big dangly loose end that doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, speaking of loose ends that are just a little odd, we're just going to take one look at this before we close up for the day. This one is really odd. Dave Stewart pointed this out to me. I don't know who else might have first found it, but I got a text from Dave, and he said, hey, did you see the old rifle swapperoo? Now, this is later. We can see it's 1858-38. So now we're, I don't know, how. What are we at right now? We're closing in on 50-45. This is 45 minutes after first shots. The door's already been propped open, so they're tired of opening it and closing it. It's got the cigarette container, the butt can there. That's what's propping that door open, that funny-looking thing. You drop your cigarettes in the top, I guess. I guess there's smokers in this building. So here we are. We're 45 minutes after first shots. We're good 25, 30 minutes after the whole blood in the bathroom fiasco. And so people have been coming and going. I don't know what to make of this. Tell me what you think about this. We're going to watch this carefully. This is a little bizarre. So here we are rolling along, and you're going to watch a uniformed officer come out, and he's going to be holding something in his left hand. He's also going to be on a radio communicating with somebody. And so he comes on out, and this is all very bizarre. Let's see. Did I grab the wrong clip? Nope. Okay. So here we are with, by the way, this is camo pants guy, and we've got an operator there. We've got a statey here. And now we're also going to see this other gentleman come out who's the bearded guy. And I think they're stateys because of how easily they're interacting with this other state policeman right here. They seem to connect well. And then we got this guy coming out. Look at him with that full rifle. That's a big long rifle he's got on that thing. He's fully tricked out, sunglass and beard guy. Comes out, walks off, looking super cash, right? Just another day out here in the parking lot where the president got shot at. Totally nothing to talk about, really. And then just a second later here, we got... couple seconds later, we're going to see this other guy come out. I'm not totally clear what that is, but kind of looks like it's got a sling. And he just leans it up there. Now he's radioing and standing there pretty cash. And this is where it just all gets just a little odd. Because he's talking to somebody. We don't know about what. We've got no audio on this. Again, the audio in this cam is terrible. The image looks a little better now because the sun has gone down behind the building, so it's not fully on the windshield, making it look all washed out, so we can see a little better now. We've got some colors in there. That's all good. So he radios out. And what you're going to see coming back into frame here is that sunglassed guy who had a big long rifle around him, but the big rifle's missing now. And now he looks all cat. Look at him. He's like, doo-doo-doo. It kind of has a vibe like I'm trying to buy a dime bag of weed back in high school. I'm trying to look casual. That's just total interpretation. Look at him look around one more time. I'm just going to take this and wander off. And scene over. So I don't know what to make of that. I don't know what that thing is that we're talking about here. Because it seems like an odd thing to have a weapon that you would just carry out of a building like that. And then you would just sort of lean it up. And this guy wants to come back. So don't know what to make of that. If anybody has some ideas, let me know. You can see where it is about the time frame there on the M500-010-482 tape. And that's all we have to say about that at the point. Now I'm going to go back to peak prosperity. We have to talk about how the UK is going insane. But by the way, that is part and parcel of a much larger problem that we're facing right now. If it feels like the quickening is upon you, it's because it is. We're in this post-truth world. Events are speeding up. I want you to be safe, happy, protected, prosperous. I'm worried a lot of people are about to get steamrolled by what's coming economically, financially, politically, maybe even kinetically in this larger story. That's why we do what we do. It's why we're holding the citizens investigation, because truth matters. We all deserve to have access to the truth, and I trust that you're going to do the right things with the information that you get. That's why I do what I do. With that, thanks very much for listening. We'll be back with you next time. And let me know what you think about any of this in the comments down below. And please share it. And by the way, if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe as well. With that, until next time, Chris Martinson signing off.